Welcome to Blue Collar BS, a podcast that busts the popular myth that we can't find good people, highlighting how the different generations of today, the boomers, Gen X, millennials, and Gen Z, are redefining work so that the industrial revolution that started in the U.S. stays in the U.S.
The Blue Collar BS podcast helps blue collar business owners like you build a business that'll thrive for decades to come by turning that blue-collar bullshit into some blue-collar business solutions. In this episode, you're going to learn what fulfillment in a job means, how health can change a career plan, how Google is an inspiration to the blue-collar workforce, and the number one skill for Gen Z to bring into the workplace. Our guest today is the dynamic Jesse Cannizzario, a millennial master plumber and owner of Milestone Plumbing, who's living her aspiration of changing the industry for generations to come. We hope you enjoy this show.
Welcome back to Blue Collar BS, Brad. How are you doing today?
I am wonderful, Mr. Stephen Doyle. And what is it like in the great Motor City of Detroit today?
It is phenomenal in the Motor City today. It has low humidity and it is excellent if you love cow pasture pool. Just a glorious day for that, which I know you are one of the many fans that love that cow pasture pool.
Yep. That'll be tomorrow morning's event. So that'll be good. I'm looking forward to it as per usual this time of year. So,
right.
You know, it's all good. What else? You taking the boat out?
No, we have a wedding tomorrow to go to. So that kind of takes care of the whole weekend. Family. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yep, barbecuing next week, so we're all set for that.
Perfect.
Looking forward to that. So, Brad, who do we got on the show today?
Our guest today, we met at our Focal Point conference, and her story is amazing. And we are blessed to have Jesse Cannizzario on us, the founder of Milestone Plumbing here in Wauwatosa. She provides residential and small commercial plumbing services, had her business for 13 years. She's one of roughly 6,000 females in the U.S. that holds her master's plumbing license. She went to the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee and has her degree in business admin and her MBA. Been part of the ABC of Wisconsin, NARI, gives back to the community, gives back to the trades and the foundation, and her legacy is to make it better when she leaves than when she started. And we are blessed to have her on today. Jesse, thank you so much for spending some time with us.
Thanks for the invite. It's an honor to be here.
An honor.
So Jesse,
she says that now.
Just wait.
Brad's got in his office alone that he is a fun guy to hang out with.
Yeah. He can be. He's been known to, we'll just leave it at that.
Yeah.
So Jesse, before I forget, which generation do you best fit in with, identify with?
You know, I had a hard time answering that on the form that I filled out. I technically, according to your debrief of which generations, I fall into on your form, the millennials, but I do not identify as a millennial. So depending on which forms you look at, sometimes you can skirt into different categories.
But right.
Technically, with a 1981 birth year, and I'm a rules person, so everything, right. Rules are there for a reason. I am in the millennial category.
All right.
I don't know of many that's going to get you out of that. I don't know many of those categories are going to move you away out of that. So,
but millennials get kind of a bad rap, but I'm starting to notice that the newer generations, it's kind of like shifting. So maybe over time, we won't get attacked as bad. So maybe I'll embrace it more as time goes on.
Just so you know, eventually you will be a boomer, but just not called one.
That's true. Very true.
Unlike who Steve calls me a boomer, and I'm not yet. But getting close to that higher part of that category.
Yeah.
So Jesse, plumbing is in your DNA would be an understatement based on your work history and all the things. Can you just share how you started out with your journey in this world of plumbing and your family history a little
bit? Absolutely. I was never going to be a plumber as a kid, so I can tell you that. So
I can see that by your work history.
Yeah, I know, right? So growing up, my dad just turned 81 this past weekend. So been, master plumber for many, many years, over 50 years now. And he can still tinker. He's got some health issues going on, but still able to tinker and do plumbing, and is the best service plumber I have ever worked with. And it was as a kid, getting to go with dad on the weekends and in the summers was not exactly what every 7-year-old dreams of doing. So it kind of felt like a punishment at the time, if I'm being totally honest. You know, and it's, you know, we actually had last summer for dad's 80th birthday, we had this huge banner made, and my siblings and I surprised him with it at a surprise party. And it said essentially that we never held the flashlight in the right place. And that is such a true statement. Because, you know, people are like, oh, yeah, I had it rough. And I'm like, no, you didn't stand a chance. Like when you would stand there and you would, with all your might, Brad and Steve, try to hold that flashlight beam.
As steady as you can. Don't shake it.
No, you would. And it would just, it was never. And you would grab it and like jerk it where he wanted it. And I was like, so, you know, growing a thick skin, being a female in the industry, it started with the flashlight. I can tell you that. And, you know, so I learned what the tools were young, learned what the fittings were young, and I helped him. And like, I think a lot of generations, I was the first to go to college, which was a huge, huge deal. Right out of high school, every guidance counselor funnels you into that college path. I had no clue what I was doing, but we went right down that path. And after that first year, I took some time away because I was like, geez, this is not what I thought it was going to be. I really don't know what I want to major in. This is really expensive if we're going to keep doing this and not know what we want. And so I took some time away and then eventually went back for business. My thought was business is a great coverall. And at the time, dad was still, you know, doing plumbing, but it was like, that's not what I'm going to do. Nobody really grows up wanting to do what their parents do. And plumbing, let's be honest, it's not all roses and pretty things all the time. So, you know, it just was like, oh, business sounds great. Having a desk job sounds like, you know, an amazing thing. And getting that degree was super important to my parents. And it really wasn't until my dad had a stroke while I was going to school at UW-Milwaukee, and he had to take some time away from work. Mom went back to school for nursing. My mom worked with my dad side by side for like my entire childhood and into my adult years. So she knew a ton about plumbing. And when dad had that stroke, and you know, here's a two-person family business, health insurance at the time for a family business like that wasn't something that was very affordable. So my mom actually went back to school as an adult for nursing to get better health care, given dad's situation and not knowing for sure if he was going to be able to go back into plumbing. And after a few months of recovery and building that strength back up, he was able to go back. And so in between classes at UW-Milwaukee and then dad doing some jobs here and there, I would juggle my schedule and I would help him out. And I can tell you guys that as, you know, a young adult in their 20s, I suddenly had this appreciation that at the age of 7, I did not have, right? Where, you know, like paperwork and going to college and doing papers and, you know, taking exams and like it wasn't fulfilling. But at the end of a job, seeing what we had helped that client with, if they had drains that weren't functioning, getting things flowing again, and how much appreciation they had for what we had done, and the fact that I could see what we were doing and have that payback as a visual reward was huge. And so here I am, you know, like, well, I'm going to go and, you know, have this office job someday and, you know, with this business degree. And suddenly I'm like, you know, I think I want to serve an apprenticeship. So we kind of decided to kind of do a complete, you know, 180. And I signed up for a plumbing apprenticeship under my dad, worked for him for a couple years before he retired for the first time, because there were several retirements along the way. You know,
of course there were. That's how most family businesses work. You'll retire a couple of times too, Jesse. Don't worry.
It'll be fine. Probably. You know, he loves plumbing. And so he has said he's retiring so many times, we don't even believe him anymore. But, you know, so, and then I moved on to another plumbing contractor in the Waukesha area, worked there for 5 years, and then eventually left there and decided to take the business degrees and marry those with the plumbing licenses. And it just made logical sense of let's create a plumbing company. And so we've been based out of the Wauwatosa area for 13 years as of last month. The business has grown a ton, much more than I ever anticipated that it would. You know, in the beginning, like the growth plan, I didn't really think through what we were going to grow to. So it's kind of an ever evolving thing.
That's spectacular. Congratulations on 13 years. That's a big deal.
Thank you.
Getting past 10 is a big deal. How many full-time employees do you currently have?
We are at 19 full-time employees.
That is spectacular. Nice. And most people don't recognize it's your type of businesses that your business and you know, the next door guy that's doing trim work or whoever it is, the HVAC. That is what's keeping our society moving forward.
And keeping
absolutely happening. So
we have an interview next week for potentially number 20. And so we're excited about that. Yeah. So it's a big deal. You know, somebody, you know, we have a hiring process that there's benchmarks along the way. And when somebody gets to this point where they're coming in for a face-to-face interview, it's something the team gets really excited about.
That's cool. That's really cool. So for our listeners, just help put some context. Are you mainly residential, little industrial, commercial?
Yeah. So our focus is primarily residential. We do small commercial. So our kind of, we have two different bread and butter divisions. We've got our service and repair division, which we're, you know, doing mostly residential, but then we've also got commercial clients, you know, that throughout the area that may need faucets fixed, drains cleaned out, new toilets replaced. So it's kind of a one big division there. And then we've also got the remodeling division, which, as you know, throughout Milwaukee, has a lot of really old homes. And so we've been kind of become a niche market for those older 80 plus year old homes that sometimes the trades like to shy away from because you don't know what you're going to find behind that wall.
You do know what it is.
Yeah. It's sometimes it's a hot mess when you open it up and some people don't like that.
Yeah. It's likely a galvanized steel pipe that may have slowly had a leak itself, just rust itself closed. And you go, let's not touch that. What if I scrape this away? Don't do that.
Don't do that. Don't touch that.
And surprisingly, we don't do a ton of new construction. And part of that is I did not enjoy new construction. It became very cookie cutter. Mm-hmm. It was not mentally challenging. It was boring. Mm-hmm. Being on the same job site for extended periods of time by myself, roughing in homes was not something I ever enjoyed. And so we do some new construction now for like existing clients that decide to move and build a home. But really, it's not a market we focus in. I love the challenge. Our team is incredibly, you know, resourceful with figuring out. But when they reach out to me for another perspective and together we can work through to come up with a solution, those are really fun days for me. It's that mental puzzle that makes us all think. Otherwise, it gets really boring.
Cool. So I want to go back to your, because you, unlike many others in your position today, worked for somebody and then went out on their own. That's how many trades companies start, right? They may have worked for their family. They may have gone. What caused the trigger to decide to go down your entrepreneurial path to say, hey, I can do this or I can do it differently or can I do it better? What was the trigger that said, I'm going to go do this on my own?
That's a great question. So there's two main components to that. The first one was I had approached my old employer and just, you know, let him know that I was interested in moving up. We were actually at a wedding when I was like, hey, you know, like I'd like to have advancements, you know, at that point, I'd become a licensed plumber, and I love working with my hands and what I was doing, but I've always wanted, like, what's the next challenge? What am I going to do next? And I really didn't feel like it was received well and that there was going to be that pathway to go anywhere. And that was really important to me because it's one of those things where it's great to be in the field, but what happens if I can't work in the field anymore? You know, because you see right behind me, I have two little boys now. That was another big component of, I want to be able to start a family. And like, how does that dynamic, you know, those 6,000 women, some of us start families. And so it becomes a little bit trickier because some of the spouses don't have to worry about, like, how are you going to carry a baby while still working for your career? And so that was a big piece of what are the advancements here? It didn't feel like there was ever going to be anything. And then the other component too, and just from like studying culture, like I am a huge culture nut. Like I love looking at and thinking about different ways to improve culture within our team. And I, in my business plan, I literally like at the time, because this would have been back in like 2010, Google was a huge deal. They were putting in snack bars and they had foosball tables and they had bidet style.
All you millennials like that stuff.
Yes, we do. I know. See, there it is again, right? So they had, you know, created this awesome culture. And in the business plan that I wrote that I presented to the banks, I said, I want to be the Google of plumbing companies. I want to create this really cool culture, this family environment where we truly care about the employee first and making sure that they're well taken care of. And I can tell you that even today, 13 years later, every decision that's made, that is still a major component. Yes, we don't have an unlimited budget, so we can't do everything we would like to do, but we seriously look at it, and that's how we build out our team, the benefits we have.
Okay, how many flip cup tables do you have?
We have no flip cup tables back there. We have bags. We just played bags last weekend.
Nice.
Bags and beer, like, right? That goes over well in the Midwest.
That'll work.
That works. So with your 19 full-time employees, kind of, if you don't mind for our audience, what's the breakdown in kind of like the generational categories, like boomers, Gen X, Gen
Z? Yeah, so, you know, I think through most of them are going to fall in that 20-year-old age range.
Really?
We spend a lot of time. A huge component of this business is the training and the advocacy for the future. So we do have some of us in our 40s that, you know, fall into both generations, but we've got a lot of 20-year-olds that are getting paired up. So if you have our team come out to your home, it is not uncommon to see the licensed plumber with their apprentice. And that apprentice is learning hands-on what the plumber does and serving an apprenticeship with our team. Most of our guys have apprentices working with them side by side throughout the day. We have a really cool apprenticeship program here where we do the first year focused in the warehouse, where they get to get exposed to what are the tools, what are the fittings, going out and helping on jobs, running parts back and forth, because that's kind of a test period of, does the team like this individual? And equally as important, does this individual like this team before we put them into that 5-year apprenticeship, which is a huge commitment. So correct. If they don't, after 6 months, if they hate plumbing, it's not the right career path, and that's okay. Let's help you find a different career path. Now, there's only been 2 instances where we brought somebody in and it hasn't been the right fit for them, and no hard feelings. It just wasn't the right time in their life for them to be, you know, pursuing this. We've also had, you know, Dan is 40. He's coming up on 40. We have a birthday coming. Dan was in woodworking and in his, you know, early 30s, decided this just isn't what I love to do, and sought us out, decided to do an apprenticeship. He is actually writing his test next month with the state. So he had a career change well into adulthood, but he pursued what he wanted to do, which is awesome. We've got a plumber who can be kind of grumpy sometimes. It's actually, you know, he's in his mid-50s and we love him to death, right? Yeah. He's an integral part of this team. But he, ironically, is the journeyman plumber that when I was an apprentice working at another company, I worked underneath him day in and day out on projects. And so we've been friends and known each other for, geez, like 18 years.
How has it been for him to come work for the person that he trained? How has his attitude been towards that? How was that transition when you asked him to come over?
Right.
Did you ask him or did he ask you?
He asked me. So he came to me about it, and we actually went out for dinner and we talked on the phone a few times about it. But then I said, and I knew his wife, right? So because I had worked with him for so long, knew his family, knew who his kids were. We actually had dinner with him and his wife, and we sat down and it was like, why are you looking to make a change? And he knew who I was. We'd worked together for years. He knew I'm kind of the devil is in the details type of a person, right? That you've got to cross T's and dot I's. So he knew, you know, what he was coming into. And I'll never forget we were out at a company outing probably a year after he had started. And his wife came up to me and she said, he needed this change. Thank you for what he did for him. And I think he just needed a change of scenery to be in a better place. And when I say he's grumpy, he has that sense of humor where things come across sometimes a little. But as you get to know him, you're like, this is just who he is. I can relate.
Yes.
Weird.
So, and my dad was that way. So I embrace it. Yep. Because I grew up with it. So the sarcasm that sometimes is criticism is meant from a place of love. But if you don't know somebody well, you don't know that.
Right.
As you bring in the young talent into your organization, what is the one skill, what is the one or two things that a 18, 16, 20-year-old can go and do to be able to come into a construction firm, into a plumbing, into a manufacturing, into a blue collar world? Because they don't know the thing, they don't know the task, but what can they bring with them to be a valuable asset and team member?
So for us, absolutely safety is extremely important. So if somebody's going to come in and start cutting corners and put anybody at risk, including themselves, like that is just not going to fly. And we're not going to be taught. We actually, unfortunately, had to let a younger individual go last summer because after it was only here for a couple of months, but numerous discussions about driving, and he could not understand that, like, you cannot speed. You have to be being careful while you're driving a company vehicle. And I want you to be careful even when you're driving your own personal vehicle, because we don't want anything bad to happen to you. Mm-hmm. And so from a safety perspective, it just was not ever going to get there quick enough. And so we had to, unfortunately, you know, part ways on that. I would say safety is absolutely number one. Equally, like, kind of paired with safety is the ability to listen and receive that feedback. Because if somebody comes in here and thinks that at 16 to 18, they know everything already, it's not a good fit, right?
How old are your kids?
My kids are 6 and 4. So,
okay. So you got about 10 years to, you got about six, yeah. 8 to 10 years before they know more than you. Just letting you know.
It may come sooner than that, and I will have to prepare for that. But, you know, that happens. You know, and I shouldn't just put it in that 16 to 18 year old range. Like, I'll get some resumes that'll come through or applicants mm-hmm. through our website, and they'll talk about how they've been doing plumbing for 5 years and they understand how to do all applications. And you just read through and you're like, this mm-hmm. person can't learn anything from me because they already know it all. Like, this is not going to probably be a good fit. And so mm-hmm. the ability to be humble enough to recognize that none of us know everything yet, including those of us that have done this for a long time. I learn something new every single day, and I know that that's never going to change. So that, I would say, is also a crucial thing for us in coming on board. And then also wanting to go the extra mile to make sure things are done 100%, processes are being followed, understanding that consistency is key to any stable, high-functioning team. If somebody's going to, because a process becomes mundane, just start skipping steps to simply get something done, they're probably not a great fit for what we're looking for. And so my advice to younger people looking to possibly get into the trades, no matter if it's plumbing, electrical, HVAC, welding, whatever it may be, safety first, the ability to listen and receive that feedback and genuinely want to apply it. And then also go the extra mile. That'll set you apart every single time. And you will get so many more opportunities by simply showing that you care enough to complete things at the 100%.
That is spectacular advice. Yeah, thank you for sharing that with our audience. We appreciate that because they don't get that information in school. Typically they don't get that right. Cause it's about memorize and regurgitate so you can pass the test and move on to the next thing. And that's not what life is about. Life isn't about memorizing and regurgitating for success.
You know, another big thing too, and I taught at WCTC for a little bit and met some really incredible apprentices during that time. And the only reason I left was my youngest, who's now 4, was on the way and probably a lot to juggle. And I was like, we got to probably start saying no to some things. I fully intend to go back to teaching. But my time with those apprentices and going into like the high schools and the grade schools to continue advocating for the trades, and then even with our team, I think something that gets overlooked, and it's a common sense thing, is having integrity to do the right thing, even when you think no one is watching. And there have been times over my career that things have happened that it shocks me, because I don't think that people have as much integrity as they may think that they do themselves. And, you know, maybe we run into situations, and my team knows this, where we might be bringing a big water heater in and out of a house or a big cast iron bathtub, and something could get damaged. And the expectation here is that you absolutely make that phone call. Yes, that phone call sucks to make, but you call the manager, you let them know, hey, this is what happened, so we can fix it and proactively be upfront with the client, and it doesn't look like anything's been hid. And that is so important to this team. And I hear stories that not all contractors conduct themselves that way. And I don't know if it's always a leadership thing, or is it the technician that was out and there's a breakdown in the communication? But it's, you know, yes, it's going to cost money to fix it, but you're going to earn the respect of that client long term if you proactively just handle it. They're going to notice. The people that think they're going to get away with things, you're not going to get away with it. And right. I'm the type of person that I go home at night, and if I can't sleep with a clear conscience, I'm not going to sleep. And the clear conscience matters so much to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's a combination. It's a combination of both those things, of leadership and the people. It's like the story you shared with us at conference. Somebody else will sweep that up. Nobody else is going to. No, you sweep it up and put it away because you made the mess. Pick up all your tail. Pick up all the shavings. Just make it better than when you left it you got here.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. So one of the questions that I have is more for parents, for those kids that are kind of like, they've been told they have to go to college, but they know that college isn't for them. And they talk to their parents. What advice would you have for parents for kids that are contemplating going into the trades?
So we do job shadows here. And Brad's heard me talk about this before, too. And so we'll have a student reach out and they might still be in high school, or maybe they're, you know, a young adult that's in a newer career and they're kind of thinking. And that recently we had a welder that came here that's not sure he wants to do welding forever. But his parents are like, this is a really great career. You need to stay on this path. And he's kind of like thinking, well, I don't know if I want to do this. And no matter if you're going the college route, a different career route, it doesn't matter. I always tell people, shadow at a company. But more importantly, when there's resistance from the parent and maybe a little bit of pushback, we invite the parents to come here as well. Come meet the team. Come find out what we're doing here. Come take a tour with your son or daughter and learn about us before you dictate and try to push them in that direction. Because you're both right. Parents have a huge influence on their kids. I came from a family that was that way as well. And the trades are, I think, more respected today than they were 10, 20 years ago. But we still have a long way to go. And, you know, it's when you see somebody and they're talking about their kids and they're getting ready to graduate, it's always, what school are they going off to? It shouldn't matter what school.
Right.
What career are they picking? That's a much more appropriate question. Because if they're not going to go off to UW-Milwaukee, UW-Madison, that doesn't mean that they've done anything that's insignificant. They're choosing something that should be equally as respected. So I think we need to start changing what the questions are and the conversations so that people aren't being stigmatized by the things that are being asked. The parents that reach out to us to learn about the trades, I actively have conversations either by email or by phone and answer questions just to kind of calm their nerves around things a little bit too. We do the youth apprenticeship program, so it's not uncommon for us to have a part-time employee that's under 18 here. Mm-hmm. We take special attention with those because they're not legal adults yet. Their parents have lots of questions. And so I usually will give my personal cell number to the parent. If you have questions, I'm always reachable. Please reach out to me and we encourage them to come learn about the team.
That's excellent. That's just unheard of right now. So I'm just kind of like, mentally, I'm giving you applause right now.
Our chamber board, they were talking about at the high school level having this big ceremony for all those college signing days and things. I'm like, so what about all the ones that went to WCTC or are going in the military or already have the job because they took their dual enrollment opportunity and now they're working wherever? What about those kids? Where's their recognition? And everybody's heads kind of went, what are you talking about? Really? Why are we making this separation of good and bad? We should either recognize everybody or don't recognize anybody for just moving on in the next stage of life. Pick one, but it can't be one or the other.
And there's nothing saying they can't do both. And I told kids that too. You look at the night school offerings or the online education now too. And if somebody wants to start their own business someday, absolutely take, and you don't have to do a full bachelor's or a master's degree, get an associate's, do something to get that understanding. Because how many tradespeople out there just, you know, they buy a van, they've got some tools. They're now out on their own, you know, they're doing cash business, right? One thing that you'll hear me say around here is Jess does not look good in orange. We have to play by the IRS's rules, right? Like we could get audited.
Orange is not your color, huh?
Okay. No, definitely not. So, you know, but they don't know any better, or they go out on their own and they don't have the right insurance, or they don't have workers' comp and suddenly they fall off of a ladder. I mean, and the thing that blows my mind sometimes too is like the side job. You know, we have clients over the years that have solicited for side jobs.
Yep.
And we have, you know, a process and the team is very transparent with me about that. And if somebody's doing a side job, not underneath an umbrella of a company's insurance, and there is an issue, the homeowner's insurance is responsible and they can go after the individual. And I think people don't understand that. And bad things happen with property damage claims all the time.
Right.
Bad things happen to good people when they think they're doing a good deed without crossing the T's and dotting the I's and all those fun things. So
absolutely. Yeah.
So, Jesse, if people want to find out more about you, find out about all the great things you are doing, how do they find you? Where do they get it? Where do they contact you? Where do they find all the good things that you do?
We are super easy to track down. We've got a great social media presence. So we got the Facebook going if anybody wants to get on there and check us out. We've got an awesome website. We actually have a new addition to the website that I didn't think to tell you until you asked about this. So I'm going to just real quick go over. We have a foster a pup program that we started this past winter. Came out of something I saw in California while I was gone for an ABC conference. And we, as we speak right now, on the other side of this wall, our third foster dog is in our office right now, integrating with our team during the day. The dogs come home with me at night, so they hang out with my kids, get socialized with my dog. But it's a way for our team to give back. Sometimes people don't know that I wanted to be a veterinarian growing up, so I think this has become like my way to like marry this love of animals with now the trades. But you can actually follow our foster pup program on the website and see which dog we currently have, as well as seeing the stories about the dogs that we've had as well. We're participating in events this summer with like Maddock and Tailwaggers and Haws, which are great rescues in the area as well. We have a team full of avid animal lovers, which is awesome.
No, I'm looking right now at your site and Stacy and Bruno and Avery. I'm like, oh my, those are, oh yes.
You gentlemen will have to come for a visit. They are, even if you don't want to get a dog, it's good. Like if you pop by and come hang out, or the FedEx and Amazon drivers will come in the office and they bring them treats. We're helping these dogs get socialized. These dogs that we've been getting, they are from Texas. Their last shot to making it before euthanization is getting on a transit to come to Wisconsin. And so our team will continue doing this to make sure that they get a fair shake.
Wow. That's spectacular. That's awesome.
That is very, very cool.
This is what happens when you're at a conference and the hotel has a foster program in the lobby and you've had a glass of wine and you're like, well, we could do this. We could do this. And my marketing team got an email at like 11:50 that night and they were like, is she nuts? And they now have embraced it. But at first there was, this is crazy. But we had our insurance company sign off on it, right? Like I'm always like, rules are there for a reason. Mm-hmm. So we were very transparent. They appreciated being told. We put some, you know, rules in place to make sure that we were reducing risk with our team and people that come and go throughout, which is why we're doing the puppies, right? They're a little more predictable than an older dog will be.
Yeah, that's very, very cool.
So not only do we fix plumbing, we fix puppies.
We help puppies find homes. So you have to stop by and come meet our foster pups.
That's cool. Yeah.
Jesse, I don't know what else to say, but congratulations. Congratulations. You are an awesome, awesome person. We appreciate you spending some time with us to share your story. I have like 1,000 other questions I'd love to ask, but maybe another time we can get you on to ask some more of those behind the scenes questions. But thank you for sharing with our audience. Thank you for what you do for the industry here locally and nationally. And just thank you for being a steward of your industry.
Awesome. Thank you for the opportunity to be on the show. I'd be happy to come back if you'll have me.
Oh yeah.
Careful you ask.
We have plenty more questions to ask. So thank you very much.
All right. Thank you so much. Have a great week. Yep.
You too.
Thank you for listening to Blue Collar BS, brought to you by Vision Forward Business Solutions and Professional Business Coaching Inc. If you'd like to learn more on today's topic, just reach out to Steve Doyle or myself, Brad Herta. Please like, share, rate, and review this show, as feedback is the only way we can get better. Let's keep blue-collar businesses strong for generations to come.